In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. Let's continue our commentaries on the Gospel of St. John, chapter 5. In the first chapter, we had the Logos incarnate. In the second chapter, we had the wedding of Cana, the first miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ. The third chapter was about Nicodemus and the long conversation with the Lord about baptism and how to be born of heaven. The fourth chapter about the Samaritan woman and the dialogue about the living water. Now we are facing the fifth chapter and the miracle of the lame. After this, there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. By the way, all the Galilee people, they had this, you know, custom to go to Jerusalem in the days of the feast. The Jews had three big feasts: the festival of the Tabernacle, and the feast of the Passover, and also the day of the Pentecost. So most of them, they used to travel to Jerusalem to spend the day of the feast there, and many of them had like some small apartments in Jerusalem or around Jerusalem. But the poor people like our Lord Jesus Christ had nothing. That's why when he used to travel to Jerusalem, he usually spent the days in Bethania, in the house of Lazarus, Mariam, and Martha, because he had no place in Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Beth Hasda, having five porches. You know, we have many gates of Jerusalem. At a time there were like 12 gates, one of them called the gate of the sheep gate. And they used to say that this gate, you know, is commonly accepting the sheep which the people bring to the feast of the Passover in order to offer them sacrifices in this day. So it was called the sheep gate. Beside this gate, there was a pool, and people believed that this pool, this water, had a power, curative power. That's why many of the sick people used to sleep all the day and nights beside the pool, because the angel, when coming to the water, they feel like the water moving. They believe that the angel moved the water, so they just, you know, run to the water in order to get the power of healing. And it happened, some miracles happened. That's why this belief was, you know, fixed in the heart of most of the Jews at that time. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. And also, you know, we used to pray in the fifth Sunday of the Lent with this chapter 5 of the Gospel of St. John. Because of this, you know, idea of the moving water, after mentioning the living water in the fourth chapter and also in the fourth Sunday of the Lent with the Samaritan woman, in the fifth week, in the fifth chapter in the Gospel of St. John, the moving water. So the idea of the living or the moving water, it, you know, helps us to understand or to remind ourselves with the idea of the grace of God through the water, the new baptism, the new creation by the Holy Spirit and water. So the water is moving because of the Spirit, because of the angel moving the water. And if you know, in our Orthodox tradition, Abuna, the priest, and used to move the water while praying before immersing any baby in the water in baptism. So just moving the water with prayer, that's because we are crying out to God to pour His Holy Spirit on the water in order to help this man or to this boy, this baby, to be born again. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. That's the belief of the people. And it goes with the idea of the Holy Sacrament of Baptism, that whatever the sickness you had, whatever the impurity you had, now you will be born again, you will be blessed with the purification of the Holy Spirit, you will be a new man. So it points at the sacrament of baptism. And again, the idea of whoever stepped in first will be blessed with this, the idea of struggling to get the grace of God, because in order to have this grace of God, you have to work for this. You have to ask for the grace of God. You have to pray. You have to wait for the grace of God. You have to focus. So there is always God's role and man's role. God is giving His grace, His new birth, His new creature to anyone. But you need to work on this. You need to have your part struggling to get the grace of God. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" So this paralyzed man spent like 38 years sleeping beside the water. And he had no one to help. He had no one to push him to the water in the minute of the movement of the water. So he was very much frustrated, because spending so much time just waiting for the miracle to happen, it's not easy for anyone. And you know, there were many people sitting around, but Christ chose this man and he focused on this man. And if you know, Christ is usually focusing on the very poor ones, on the very frustrated ones. He just come in the very late time, but before, you know, losing all hope. So the Lord moved toward this man and he asked him, you know, something, you know, strange, saying, "Do you want to be made well?" Maybe some of the disciples may say, definitely he wants to be well because he is sleeping here. But the question was very wise, simply because after many years, usually people lose hope. After such a long time, usually people think of just having their food, their water, and just to keep themselves alive. So they may forget all about healing, all about the miracle. But for this man, he never lost hope. He still have hope. He wants to be healed. So he's waiting for something to happen. And Christ wanted everyone to see this clearly, that this man had hope. And because of his hope, God will grant him the miracle. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." This man had hope, and his answer was like, definitely, I'm waiting for the miracle to happen. But he added another important point, that I had no man to put me into the pool. So his problem in his mind was about having somebody to help, some friend to share, to care. So that's his problem. He felt so desperate, because it's not only the problem of being paralyzed, but a major problem of being alone. He felt very lonely. So he had no hope just because he had no man. Christ came to him as if telling him, "I'm the man you are waiting. I'm not only a man. I'm the Lord. I'm God incarnate. I can do things men can never do. So what's impossible for men, it's always possible for God." So Christ came as a man in order to show him love, and also came to him as God to give him the miracle. Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, Rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Because of the little faith in his heart and the little hope in his heart, he believed in Christ, although he did not know Christ. But when God said it, Rise, take up your bed, he believed it. He tried to move up. Because of his belief, the grace of God worked in his body. He felt the power. He felt a real change happening in this minute. That's why he could rise up. And he could even, you know, take up his bed. And he simply walked away. So he was very happy because after 38 years of misery, now he can walk. Now he is different. He is a new one. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. You know, by this miracle, Christ showed everyone that he could give you a new power. He could give you the will to change, the will in order to be transformed. You are a new man, a new person, just because you believe in God. And with the power of God, you will feel empowered. And you will feel the strength of God will, you know, cover your needs and help your weaknesses. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, Who was cured? It's the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. So although this man was very well known because he was sitting there 38 years, so everyone saw him many times. So they were sure that this man was the paralyzed man. But they focused only on the Sabbath law. And they ignored completely the very clear miracle happened. And they thought in their lawful way that this is, you know, kind of breaking the law. And that's the most important thing. They never care for this man, for the happiness, for the joy he had at that day after 38 years of suffering. So they told him, it's not lawful for you to carry your bed. Maybe that's one reason why Christ ordered him to carry his bed, in order to let people see the truth, that God cares more for the man, much more than for the law. And the law was given for men. Not men were created for the law. So in their eyes, he, as if he broke the commandment. He answered them, He who made me well said to me, Take up your bed and walk. This simple man answered a very nice answer, saying that I know nothing. But the one who cared, the one who cured me, the one who gave me new life, ordered me to carry the bed, I should follow him. I should obey this man. I will never obey anyone but this man, because he is the one who cured me. I will never think of what you say. I always think of the one who loved me and saved me. So this simple man made it clear. I don't care what you say. I don't care even to be considered like a law-breaking one, but I care so much to obey my master. Then they asked him, Who is the man who said to you, Take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn. Till this minute, the Lord Jesus Christ was not known enough in Jerusalem, because he spent most of his service time in Galilee. And most of the farmers and the fishermen in Galilee knew him, and they believed so much in his miracles. But in Jerusalem, because he spent, you know, few days in the feast, some people knew him, but most of the people heard about him, but they never saw him by their eyes. So he did not know that this is the famous Jesus Christ believed by many of the Jews. So he answered simply, I do not know him, but I loved him. I will follow him. I obey him because he is the one who cured me. But actually, still I don't know him. A multitude being in that place. So again, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was doing miracles, he never showed off. He was not caring of the celebrity, of the glory by men. So he did not wait for the people to come and to gather and to glorify him, because he knew that these people will, you know, will not follow him, because they need only to see miracles. So he tend to withdraw after miracles. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. So this man started to go to the temple after many years, as if he was repenting, as if there was a secret in his heart, feeling that because of my old sin, I had this paralysis, this problem. No, so I need to go to the temple to thank God for his forgiveness, for his gift of the new life, of walking again. So Jesus found him in the temple. So when you take the grace of God, you have to go to the church in order to glorify God, to give thanks to the Lord who is always giving you new life. And said to him, see, you have been made well, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So Jesus appeared at this minute in order to give him another gift. The first one was the miracle of healing, the new life of walking and living differently. But another gift is the guidance of the Holy Spirit, how to live pure in life, how to go forward in your spiritual life. Don't look back. Sin no more. And he warned him, lest a worse thing come upon you. So, as if Jesus was telling him, I know your secret. And because of your sin, you had this problem. So, sin no more. You suffered a lot. 38 years of paralysis because of your sinful life. Now you had a new life, keep it in your heart. Stick to this new life and struggle not to turn back to your sinful life. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So the man went back to the Jews telling them, I now knew him. He is Jesus. He is the Lord. So some of the fathers of the church believed that that was a witness from the man to the Lord. Few of the fathers of the church could see that he started to fear these rulers of the Jews. So he went back to tell them about Jesus, not because of loving him, but, you know, to make sure that this ruler will accept him. So we cannot know the heart of this man, but let's take it this way, that because of the miracle he had and the new life he enjoyed, now he is witnessing to the Lord. Glory to God. Amen.